Hello and welcome to Kitchen Curiosity, the podcast that delves into the heart of food service and hospitality. We're back at Host again. It's day two now, and I'm joined by four esteemed guests, all from the UK. I've got the chair of CEDA, who's also a distributor. I've got a very well-known F&B consultant who's been on the podcast a couple of times. I've got the chief executive of the AFE group, and I've also got another Ali group representative, and I'll let them introduce themselves. So without further ado, Tim, do you want to go for it and introduce yourself? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Radford. Thanks for the introduction. I'm Tim Smith, the chief executive of the AFE group, more readily recognised as the business brands of Williams Refrigeration, Falcon Food Service Equipment and Mono Bakery Equipment, together with our service businesses based in the UK, Miller's Vanguard and Service Line.
Fantastic. And how has day two been?
Very busy. Very busy for us. UK, international visitors, non-stop actually for us.
John?
I've been working exclusively in the catering, F&B, food service, whatever we call it, industry since I was 16, was only 10 years ago. former judge on BBC MasterChef, 20 years as consultant chef to Manchester City Football Club, original flavour designer to Walker Sensation Crisps.
Yeah.
So don't say bad things about those, Radford.
Which we covered in episode one of season one.
Which actually was the most listened to podcast.
Yeah.
but my life's either working with businesses that need change or it's new openings and brands. But it covers stadia, restaurants, hotels, arts, heritage, theme parks, all the good stuff.
Thank you. Angelo, would you like to say introduce yourself?
For sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Angelo Speranza. I look after three Ali brands in Europe and a branch also in North America. The first one is Burlodge, the second one is Temprite, and the third is Steeling. We all specialize in the distribution of healthcare systems, also in the prison and in the educational market. And we've been part of the Ali Group for approximately 20 years.
Okay. A good day so far?
Very good day so far. Very pleased about the turnout because we're expecting a bit of a drop because 2 years ago we had a very good turnout after COVID. So we were hoping the same turnout, but so far possibly better than 2 years ago. So extremely pleased.
Fantastic.
And as Tim said, a lot of foreigners and a lot of potential good clients.
Right. Well, welcome to the show. And Paul, introduce yourself.
Yeah, of course. Good afternoon, everybody. My name's Paul Neville. I'm the managing director of CHR Equipment and current chair of CEDA.
Great. Well, welcome to the show. How's it been? When did you get to Milan?
Yesterday.
Okay.
So last night I arrived and I was in here in the hall very early this morning.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. To kick us off, what's the vibe been like today at Host? And, you know, is there anything sort of screaming out to you that you're seeing across a lot of the stands? John, do you want to maybe just start us on that?
I think the size of the show is incredible. I mean, it's like a town, isn't it?
Yes.
This isn't a show, it's just like a small village. but no, really exciting. I think really positive, which quite surprised me in some ways. I mean, okay, it reflects the world, if not Europe, but the UK is going through a very, very tough, difficult time, I think.
Yeah.
The international presence of brands across all segments is second to none. You won't find an exhibition like this in the world. This is flagship time for all of our as manufacturers to present our latest product, new innovations, but also especially a chance to meet customers existing and new.
Yeah, okay.
No, indeed, it's a very big show. We've been coming here for many years. There's 16 halls. So as you were saying, you know, it's a mini city. And the spread of different people from different across the world is incredible. So Milan has done a fantastic job in setting up this venue for this kind of show. And it's put also the Italian industry in the forefront, but also the European industry in the forefront.
I think for me, it just shows what an amazing industry we've got. And you can wrap that up here today with so many people that are at the forefront of it, and that's what I take from it.
Yeah, okay. And themes? Is it sustainability? Is it innovation? I mean, there's some new product designs I've seen.
I think sustainability, connectivity, is the thing that I would take from what I've seen, and long overdue.
Yeah. Well, yesterday we talked a lot about connectivity, and that's obviously a big theme here. So maybe we pick up on sustainability. Do you want to kick off what's your view about here with sustainability, John?
I think, to me, we all, in theory, work in the same industry. But in reality, I think it's two very separate boxes. And if I can use this example of this rather little dinky Fiat car, the driver needs to be probably the operator. And the co-pilot, is that the right word?
Passenger.
Needs to be the manufacturing ability to be able to make great food through skills and culinary, but also through machinery. And the rest of it is through ingredients. And I see this divide where I want to get unification and bonding and collaboration between the operators and the manufacturers and obviously the people that resell that. And that's about getting closer and closer and closer together. So if you look at a lot of industries, you look at rallying, Formula One, MotoGP, it's about the driver, the rest of it follows. And I think we could be a lot smarter, that's meant with respect, and get further together. I saw, for example, the other day, a piece on LinkedIn where somebody was taking the pan rest off the top of a six-ring thing and putting it in a rationale to steam it, to clean it. And there was outrage. And I'm thinking, guys, you know, what I'm saying is manufacturers with research and development get closer to operators. So we design products for the future that's really fit for the modern world, because a lot of the designs are amazing, but some of it is a little bit the same stuff I saw in 1975.
Can I interject there? Just two things on that. What one, as we see it in the marketplace, what sometimes things are sold for the wrong purpose.
Yep.
And also the clients buy the wrong thing because of the price. And there is a lot of that that goes on in the market. So when you are presenting a project and that briefing that comes as the first stage is the key to bringing the operator and the manufacturer and the distributor together.
Yeah. Imagine if we could train chefs to care for machinery. That sounds stupid, but part of the college could be that we learn. I'm not saying we want to understand the old-fashioned thermocoupler. There's an education on both sides.
Yeah. Tim, what have you got?
I say that it's a two-way street. I agree with what you're saying, but it's very much a two-way street because we are in the healthcare industry, so we are bound to standard regulation on government purchasing, and we see that we have to develop products so that users use it correctly and don't abuse it. So it's a bit the other way around, and that's why when we develop products, we're trying to make sure that it's as easy as possible to use, as efficient as possible to use, and as repetitive as possible to use, because the majority of the issues is human input. And that's why we've removed a lot of the human input in our industry. Obviously, I'm not talking about a kitchen here. To reduce mistake and to maximize the performance and the quality of the outcome. The more we do that, the more we can increase the level of service and guarantee the continuity of that service.
The education of the user.
Absolutely. But
67% of users are dyslexic. You guys never knew that.
No.
So if you understand colors and the ability for simplicity when you design stuff, yes, seriously.
I'm smiling. Do you know why? Because we've got exactly the same thing. We call it a status light, and it's a color coding system, so the machine talks to you via colors. Because people do not
make that industry standard, please.
Well,
I like that.
They will copy it, but we've been doing it for 3 years. People do not read control panels. We spend enormous amount of money
in displays.
They're too complicated. And they are too complicated, and people do not use them.
Don't let them have Wi-Fi or Facebook on it.
Tim, have you got a view on this?
Follow the colors. Let the machine tell you what it's doing at any one time.
Tim?
There's merit in all of that.
Yeah.
Yes, from a user perspective, we are there to provide a product that is fit for its whole life, not just the accounting depreciation life. It's got to be robust, it's got to be easy to clean, it's got to be easy to maintain, it's got to be safe, and it's got to be legal.
Yeah.
Picking up on that controller functionality, we look at from a blast chilling perspective, our controller is just three buttons, and as described as easy as 1, 2, 3. There are many complexities available in programming for blast chilling, thawing, proving. We have to find the balance for the culinary needs, the staffing skills,
the technical needs,
and meet that whole life cost and operating value of the piece of equipment. Some is price-led, some is whole life-led, and ability to provide service, spare parts, and be there as a manufacturer to support the product through its whole life of use, refurbishment, replacement of parts.
I think that whole thing about let's reevaluate the scrap culture and the waste. Let's get back to the fix it, sort it, mend it mentality, please. I think the amount of stuff that gets thrown away or has short life expectancy, but I think to your point, educating the person that presses the button with the apron on, sweating away on the wash-up, that's really important. It's how we do that in their language, not in ours.
Okay.
I agree.
So I think just moving a slightly different subject, we, you know, short for time. Paul, you know, you're visiting host here as obviously a distributor and the CEDA chairperson.
Yes, first time.
What are you hoping to get from the show? What have you got from the show so far?
I'm looking for how far people have come today, and I'm talking sustainability. That is, in effect, what my subject is, both for CEDA and where we sit within CHR. So one of the things that we started to do was to run an R&D on connected kitchens. So yeah, we've had that R&D running for 4 years now, which tells us energy use, it tells us carbon use, operator use, etc. So what I was looking for, particularly at this show, was to see how far people had come down that line.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Angelo, what are you hoping from the show? Obviously, you're coming from a exhibitor perspective.
Our ultimate goal is to show clients firsthand in why we develop things and why we develop things.
Okay.
And to come back to John's point, we have to listen to people. And the fortune that we have is that we are very close to the end users. So our salespeople, myself included, because I look after the product development, we listen to the needs of the clients and then bring them solution and develop them with them. Because otherwise, we're just going into a technological tunnel, and we are not looking at the reality of what happens in real life.
Yes.
And this differentiates us with other people, but it's also sometimes, and we have this debate with our sales guys, that they want it for free, they want it. I said, no, you can't do that, because we have competitors that are not offering this same value added, and a lot of clients are buying on price. Yeah. So we need to educate clients that we have a fantastic product, but you can elevate your service, you can elevate your payback, you can elevate your return on investment if you spend slightly more. It's not much more, but slightly more.
But educating the purchaser, is it procurement, the MD, the FD? It probably isn't the head chef anymore.
That's the issue.
Apart from Paul, from Niche, very good restaurant. I think educating them in the benefits and not manufacturing stuff so it's got 3-year life.
So again, just let me pull into that. So your TM65, as we mentioned earlier, this for me is that gap, if you like, that we've been missing for quite some time, which is to understand what the product has been designed for.
Yep.
And for a period.
Yep.
Of time. And that will hopefully allow everyone to get a little bit more educated on what that product's suitability is for, because we all get a brief. So we know that if we are, you know, doing a 5-star hotel that's working 16 hours a day, and that TM65 document is sat there saying, well, my product life is 5 years, it's going to be the wrong place for it. It needs more work, but at least it's an insight to how the products are being designed.
Yeah, and I suppose how many ingredients and how many hand movements and the menu and the makeup and the skill and the headcount, that is all about designing something, but not the equipment, but the human.
From your point, Bradford, you know, you're sat as one of the consultants here. I mean, how do you see sustainability? You know, when you're putting your plans together now, and I ask you this in terms of being able to talk to your customer, how do you demonstrate that?
I love it when a guest asks me a question. No, it's great. No, you're right. I think it's exactly what we're talking about, is that with all good intention, we all start at the highest point of sustainability. But unfortunately, what often happens is the capex gets pushed. People start value engineering, and then that's when it kind of slips. So some customers are very committed to it, and they really want to do it, and then they push it through. And some, I'll be honest, probably it's a tick box exercise. But we try to educate, we try to inform, but often, as we all know, that horrible value engineering.
I would say from my experience of Europe and the Middle East, the UK is the toughest market, with probably the least spend on the kitchens, which is hard.
Competitive in terms
you
of...
You call it competitive.
We have to at the end of the day.
It's not competitive, it's just cheap stuff. It's also, there's a piece, retention and recruitment in the industry is proven with the right environment, as Paul was saying, and light, ventilation, and equipment that's doing a great job helps radically with recruitment and retention.
But I guess there's a market for the cheaper stuff as well, in startups and things like that, they maybe can't afford to.
I think there's a little bit in this, though, because we're not talking just about sustainability in terms of material or energy.
It's the people.
Exactly. That's what I meant.
We're definitely talking about, people and purpose and retention and making kitchens a good place to want to go and do you do very well. And I think that is massive in terms of keeping hold of people.
But coming back to the UK in terms of sustainability, I think the UK, especially in the healthcare system, is one of the advanced countries in Europe, maybe possibly in the world, because the UK has a net zero policy. They are vetting every single supplier. We had to go through a very rigorous and stringent, and it's called an evergreen assessment platform, that really vet people for what they are doing and committed to doing. They're not greenwashing.
I visited 48 hospitals in the NHS, and that isn't what I found.
You cannot supply a contract for more than £3 million in England if you're not having a net zero policy in place and you're committed to it. We are.
But I like
to stop people saying, yes, I am, they are vetting
you.
And we are level two. Level three is extremely expensive,
like
but the conditions are the same. So we are comparing now our product, again, coming back to cost, because we are doing this initiative because we believe in it, not because we also have to do it. But other companies are not doing it, and it comes back again, how do you justify the difference? So we've done scope one, scope two, scope three, but the majority of the problem is of our carbon emission. It's not our building, our traveling, and our electric cars anymore.
It's manufacturing.
It's the product use. And that's why we are developing now, reducing energy consumption. Because 93% of our CO2 emission, which has been independently calculated, it's our product in the field, because they put that in your emission.
Yeah.
That's why we have to work.
Research and development.
Correct.
Working with the end users. I don't see that. I'm talking about those users that have the gravitas and wisdom to be able to influence the design and working together to end up with a better tomorrow.
Come and see us, Dan, and I'll show you some examples.
Okay, well, we are coming close to the end, so we'll wrap up that conversation. I felt it could have gone on a lot longer. So just quickly to wrap up, guys. So I know that you, John, and Paul have some... You know each other, there's some connection. Is that right?
Yes, there is. When I joined my dad in his company 33 years ago, I think it was, one of Ron's first thing was to put me in a kitchen in which I first met John Benson as the executive head chef at the Victorian Albert Hotel in Manchester. And I went and did some...
Time.
And I still remember today going and doing the first service, and you were delivering fish and chips. It was wrapped in a Coronation Street paper, and it was being done on a banquet for 250 people. And I remember that like yesterday. And when I went back afterwards, and my dad said to me, "What have you learned?" I went, "I don't want to be a chef, Dad."
Oh, John,
it's too much hard work.
And, well, conditions. That what I did learn from it was teamwork. what I did learn from that was having everybody's back. And that was the other side of it. But and he said to me, he said, well, why? And I just said to him, they're horrible, dingy places to work in.
We need to ban those dingy, because that has done so much damage to the industry.
Yeah.
And we need to admit we got part of it wrong. I understand the positivity, but we need to rid it.
Okay.
Educate us all on the benefits of the machinery
well,
and the
guys,
training.
We are now almost at the end.
We're in
so
trouble
we're,
now.
We're going to have to wrap it up. Any very short final thoughts from you? I mean, and we're talking short. So, go.
I just think what I've seen and where we've come from a sustainable point of view in terms of what I see around the show, it's a good start to where we're travelling.
Great. John, any quick, short final thought?
If we design better, build better, operate better, care better, through unity, we're going to enjoy it better.
Fantastic. Tim?
We're here listening,
yeah.
Meeting customers, talking, trying to understand more and how we can convey that into the product. And I think it's been a tremendous number of people that we've already seen and an opportunity to listen and take forward some great ideas for the industry as well as our manufacturing environment.
Fantastic. Andrew, just
very short. Let's talk more action.
Fantastic.
Let's do it.
I think guys, next season we've got scope to come back again and keep this subject a longer session, because I think there's a lot yet to cover. But thank you all for joining me. Enjoy the rest of hosts, and I hope you've enjoyed the experience.
Thank you very much.
Perfect, thank you. Hello and welcome back, everyone. So we're obviously still at Host Milan, and now I'm joined by four guests, all from the Ali Group family. Someone from Carpegiani Ice Cream, I've got Ranchilio Coffee, I've got the boss of Lainox Combi Ovens, and I've also got a gentleman from Commender Dishwashing. So I'll let them introduce themselves, and then we'll get into the chat. So do you want to kick us off, Mariano?
Yeah, I'm Mauro Dorigo. I'm the area sales director of Lainox, in charge of Europe and North and South American market. So I'm really pleased to be part of this podcast. Thank you, Red, for inviting us.
Welcome. Carlo?
So that's me. It's Carlo Fama. I'm sales director for UK, Middle East and Asia.
Right, okay.
For Commender. And there's a big satisfaction being here. You know, we are part of the family. Commender was the first company where Ali Group started in 1963.
Yeah.
So it's something that we are really proud to also to underline every time when we can.
Absolutely. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And good to see you.
Yeah, and hello everybody. My name is Augusto. I work for Ranchilio and the Ali Group coffee brands.
Yep.
I lead the areas of marketing and product development. And yeah, glad to be here. It's been for us many, many years here at Host. So one more time. And glad to join you for a few minutes today.
Welcome.
And well, I'm Federico Tassi from Carpegiani. I am the general manager since 2019, but actually I've spent 20 years in the company. So I can say I can know the details.
Well, welcome to the show. I actually went to the Carpegiani factory in July with my little boy, and we had an amazing time.
Did you visit the gelato museum?
We did, and we had the best gelato I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
We have a gelato outlet just next to there, yeah.
it was really good. Yeah, anyway, welcome. So, just to kick us off, you know, Host, it's huge. How do you feel about the international visitors? Where are you seeing the international visitors, etc.? Anyone wants to start us, by all means?
From Commender,
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. We're receiving a lot. And yesterday, and we were waiting last from India.
Okay.
Just to underline the pleasure that we have as we started 18 months ago with the market where we were disappeared for many years, then with the huge investment that we did also for the BIS certification that is really not so easy.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
Yeah,
it's a, really a must for someone. But and then we decided to invest on this. On someone new, and also we have now a country manager for Commender in India. On the first, and we are proud of this, in the first 18 months, we multiply per 12 our turnover in India.
Wow.
Now we have an official importer, So we are growing in general market and in all projects, hotels, restaurants, big projects, big chains. And the question is that in India, the market is growing, but it's growing fast. Because, you know, in Europe, sometimes we have a couple of years, we have a project. In India, they open a project, and after 3 months, the project has to be closed. It means that the machine has to be already installed sometimes.
Okay. And so just to move on then, and what are the visitors are you seeing? I mean, yesterday people told me there was a lot of Americans here, which is quite surprising, because obviously they have big shows there. What about what you think?
Well, yeah, I would rather mention the type of customers that we're seeing here. Yeah. We always seen a strong, a very strong opposition between this show and another show dedicated to gelato that we typically do in January.
Oh, okay. That's the Sigip.
And typically we use the Sigip to see our final customers from our traditional customers, the gelato people, while here we look for more partnership overseas or abroad in general. Yes. And that's what we are seeing, and even it is even more substantial than it was in the past. So we are liking the show, definitely.
Yeah, for us as well. We get lots of visitors from the States, from North America, but in reality it's a bit all over the world. I couldn't say a specific region. Host for us is our biggest show. It always is. We invest a lot. We support it a lot. And it's a great opportunity to see a lot of our clients, no? Distributors, partners, chains. And this year one more time, second day still, so 3 days to go.
From
but
Linux,
it's been very good.
Okay.
Very good so far.
From Linux side, I can confirm also it's the most important exhibition for us worldwide. Opportunity here to see most of our partners from Far East to Far West. Can confirm we had a lot of visitors from US.
In the US
yesterday, yes. Of course, support also by our distributor, who made a good job to invite consultants, chain accounts, but was well accepted. And then generally throughout the market, also a lot of Italian visitors, to be honest. We have our most relevant dealers joining here. And of course, as I said before, the fact that you launch new products is always a big attraction point.
Yeah.
Visitors come here, invest their time to see news, hopefully also from the suppliers they are traditionally working with.
And for us also, it's a good branding exercise, no? Because obviously to meet our clients, but also in the coffee industry, not only our clients, also the second or third layer maybe of distribution. So different industry profiles could be from baristas, technicians, no, sub-distributors, to actually meet the brand, feel the essence. No, we drive a lot of experiences and different activities at the booth on what we are, you know, what we believe it's important in our world, in a small world of coffee. So it's a good opportunity for that too, because we don't get the opportunity to meet the industry as a whole. No,
but I think it's very interesting that Host remains probably one of the most important on this business. But people, customers, also private customers, they wait for some new products, for some news.
Yes.
And it's very interesting because, as you said, from Linux, they introduced two new products. They are waiting for some. If they come and you don't have something new, but something really new.
Yeah.
Not only, okay, different power, different this, but really something new. That maybe we will not propose to the market, let me say, something crazy, but they're waiting for something new.
Yes.
This is why there is all this. It's really alive as exhibition. It's really alive.
Definitely. Well, someone said to me yesterday, it's the show of shows. I think as well, the quality of the stands, you know, the design, the investment that's gone in is substantial.
Absolutely.
And a lot of thought on all the stands, whether it's Ali, not Ali, doesn't matter.
Yes. Yeah, that's nice. Looking around, it's really designing. It looks like a designing exhibition.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what we feel more and more throughout the years, our customer, potential customers, existing customers, they join this show also to take some inspiration, to see where the market trends go, looking at the stands of their suppliers or maybe others, but really to understand where maybe in 5 or 10 years our business is going to develop, which type of concepts, in our case of cooking, but can be others, of course, coffee or ice cream, whatever. And to understand also, being here B2B distributors, in which direction they should orientate to focus on one or the other customer area. Because we in our business, we see a definitely growing key account direction.
Where do you see the market going for our sector in the next sort of 5-10 years?
Well, as far as gelato, but not only gelato, we are also reasonably big in soft serve units, the one that you supply to chains and shake and slush. What we can see is what I call, it's my term, I'm not saying it's exact, chainization, meaning the decrease of individual owners and individual capabilities of owning and running a business on a limited amount of location.
Yeah.
And what we're actually seeing is that coming from North America but spreading throughout the world, chain or QSRization is the regular and successful way of running a business.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Totally. Agree. Totally. I love personally, and we love also the general market. But honestly, in some countries, in some areas, in Southeast Asia, general market doesn't exist more. The general market is the QSR market.
Well, okay.
Yeah. When you go there, say, okay, what is general market for you? It's a QSR. So they have, let me say, 20 customers for 20,000 stores, for example. You know, in Europe, we have 20,000 shops for 20,000 customers. But this is changing quickly. The, how you say?
Chainization.
Chainization is nice.
It's definitely professionalization, also coffee. It's still very relevant for us, the general market. And we want to stay true on that. So because we still believe, even you know, with the chainization or that terminology, still the challenge will be there. No innovation, reinventing themselves every day. So we need to keep, let's say, flexible and you know reactive to what they demand. But yeah, it's professionalizing. You were talking about design a little bit. Also, a challenge for us was before it was all about products. No, where do I put my new coffee machine and so on? Now we're bringing some new services.
Yeah.
AI. A chatbot for technicians, no? A Kitchen Connect from Ali, from Wellbuilt into two of our brands. No? How do we show this and show it in a good way so the customers can realize that? So they don't come only for products, but also for a full solution for my business. No?
Of course, that's
a bit changing our approach into the show as well.
Mario, where do you sort of see things happening? Well, we touched on it, I know, but...
As we were hearing before from Federico, Chinization of this world, I like it.
More of that.
That direction is for sure. That's also the reason why we develop our technology more and more into this direction. No? If you see also the concepts we showed at our booth and we that experience the people are more and more targeted to this. Connectivity, great point. We have all our devices connected fully between each other, also different type of devices, whether it's a combi oven, a high-speed oven, and a multifunctional blast chiller. And this again is to consolidate operations, to have the possibility to monitor operations in a really business-oriented way, which of course the individual business doesn't do and doesn't require.
Yeah, and the more of these advance, the more important is to also provide not only within coffee or gelato or cooking a full solution, also among these solutions let's say 360 solution, because chains will need a lot of these things. So that's where I think Ali Group can play a good role into that, definitely. No? And also just to finalize, but in coffee, what we are also seeing is the expansion. We speak coffee, but it's not so only coffee anymore. No, generations are changing, and it's more about the full beverage solution. So the menu is expanding.
Yeah. No,
tea, cold drinks, freezy, functional drinks, etc. So this is really moving fast, and the change to keep up with this, they need automatization. So automatization is playing a big role for us now to keep the quality standards and the reliability of the product, but increase the automatization for the change to be able to develop these, let's say, more complex menus. No?
Okay. Something that I'm asking all the guests on these two episodes for host, is there a general theme that you're seeing across the exhibition, be that sustainability or design or innovation, or is there no real theme? Just as you've been around, what are you feeling about that?
I think that losses, really, we are looking a lot on designing.
Yeah.
But when we talk about design, we talk about usability also of the product.
Yes.
For example, for our dishwasher.
Yeah.
The designing is not so important, even if it can be important because, for example, as you said before, from Rancilio, the question of the connection is very important, but When we talk about designing, for us, talking about something easier to use. No stress on your hands, no stress on your shoulder. So, but designing in general, or the probably that it's a real meaning of designing, because when you talk about design, it's not only fashion, but it's also something more.
And actually about this, you know, and this is also a little bit part of what we were saying before. So who is actually using the machines, whatever kind of machine now? It's not going to be an owner that is in love with his equipment. It's going to be an operator, okay, that is probably going to be not so much trained or not so much in love with the unit. So you have to design a unit that has this in its way of being
the
used.
Operator, absolutely. And then, we just covered a lot on that, actually, about, you know, making it ease of use for operators and things, but
No, you were talking a little bit, and I don't know if I got the question 100% right, but if we've seen any particular thing that has evolved, no, in the exhibitions.
Actually
chatting with some of my colleagues yesterday, and while we were building a bit the stand, etc. Maybe it's a bit controversial what I say, but I've been in a few hosts, now probably 12, 14. There has been some evolution, obviously design, etc., but not so much. It might be a bit controversial, but I think what we should also look into make this show more different experience, or a worthwhile effort as we move and evolve for clients and the industry to come and visit. There still is, but I believe maybe moving forward in the coming years, and there are other regions in the world that are very innovative in this sense, that they might click on some new buttons on how their show and experience is. And that's something maybe we've seen little pieces of it, more digitalization, etc. It still remains quite traditional from an exhibition point of view. So this will be interesting.
You know, probably this is interesting because you are talking from Rancillo, so a coffee machine company. But because, let me say, coffee is already cool. So you have already worked in the past years on the designing a lot. So probably you already have a different sense from we are, let me say, different. As Commander, we have dishwasher, so it's not so fashion, let me say. With coffee, you probably have already done this kind of route, let me say. Yeah. Because the fashion and cool. Coffee is cool, like wine. It's very cool.
It's different. Dishwasher, not so cool.
Not so cool. Usable, but not so cool.
Zombies is probably quite cool.
Yeah.
Of course. As every device which is transforming, in this case, food is, attractive in its sense because allows you to have a concrete sensation of what comes out and it's a bit like a coffee in the taste and everything, so it's an advantage.
You want to enjoy what the product can do, and
that's the reason why we promote our equipment in this way, and we try always to give and to leave also to our guests at the show a sensation, a gustative sensation.
We are trying to learn a bit from you because for tomorrow we've got with the Silvia, the home line of Rancillo, we've got a little experience. We've got two chefs coming, so we will do like a maridage with milk and food together with the coffee. So we're trying to do things that, apart from the product, the feature, etc., it's something more, today we were doing in the RS1 with Rancillo Specialties coffee and full senses. So it's an experience. You get some headsets, so you get the noise out of the exhibition, and you touch things, smell things, try other beverages that are not coffee. Then you try coffee, and then when you put all that together, we go to the ESCA kind of tasting wheel, and the people need to choose, what this experience has reminded me to, what flavors, etc. So
that's good.
Trying to scratch a bit underneath that
something
surface.
Different.
But still, it's not easy, right? It's not
so just so Carpegiani, obviously, this year, you've moved out of the ice cream hall, and you're here.
Yeah.
Bold move. A big move, really. What's behind that?
Well, basically, again, when I was, appointed to this position, I was just fearing very much that we became too much dependent of gelato only, because gelato, is a very, very cool business, except it doesn't grow. There are already quite enough number of gelato shops around Europe. There are not that many around the world, so there is a limitation to what you can do.
Yeah.
So we're trying to shift to have other things growing as well, the QSR business with soft and shake, and we've been reasonably successful in that. Now we have come to the next phase. We want to be into the food service, meaning into the pastry and restaurants, and get gelato and pastry into places where it's not the core business, but it can be part of the business.
Yes.
That's why we're here.
Okay. So, and is it, it's work, it's been positive, you think?
Well, so far, I mean, we're seeing that as very positive so far. Then we will count the contacts at the end of the show, of course.
Well, look, we're coming closely to the end of the podcast, but from each of you, maybe just a final thought. You know, what will success look like for you this week after your 5 days? I mean, obviously, you're going to be exhausted, but what's success for you on Linux, do you think?
Well, I mean, for Linux, we already saw it in this first 1.5 day. Success means to have centered our goal for the show, which was to launch two very relevant products for us, the new Compact Line, the new Oracle XS, and to get the right feedback from our distributors, from the end customers, that we are on the good way. And also, apart from, yeah, I mean, as you usually do on the show, you know, you measure the number of leads, the quality of leads is something we will maybe investigate a bit later, but to get the feedback if what we show in terms of concepts, in terms of way of usage, possibilities to use our equipments in the real environment is really targeted. This would be a very, for us, solid feedback to understand if we are in the good direction and if we are able to offer innovative solutions for now and also for the future to our customers. So it's
perfect.
Here you have all the world. So whatever comes from here in terms of feedback gives you, I think, a very good inspiration for the
and
coming
Carlo,
years.
For you,
quickly, from Commander, we have two.
Yeah.
Presenting our new image.
Yes.
And this is important for us, again, because we are not cool like the other. You know, I'm here between coffee, oven, and Carpigiani, you know, the sweetest.
You lucked out on this one.
So it's not easy, because everybody loves them.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, dishwashing, come on. But, you know, they need.
Yeah.
Though, this is one. And the second is to open new markets, really. To be recognized from consultants, and, okay, Europe, Middle East, but Asia.
Fine.
Asia.
Perfect. Yeah. And from Rancilio, what's success?
Lots of different things, lots of coffee. We'll keep everybody caffeinated. Now, I think, probably as Mauro was saying, I think it remains like it's been this day and a half so far. It will be a success. So we've got a lot of, let's say, clients, new clients, a lot of good interest. So that, if that remains like that, will be a success, apart from leads and so on. On top of that, and new products, I think it's, we want to maximize the potential that we've got, no? And we still think within the coffee industry we've got so many opportunities in different regions with different product cross-selling, no? The Ali Group has 8 different coffee brands, no? In different parts of the sector. We're a group of, no, different people coming from different parts of the world, so still there is so many opportunities. So I think just the fact of being a bit closer this year with the new design and the new booth concept, and getting more to know each other, et cetera, activating, no? Mm-hmm. These new opportunities would be a success.
And for Carpigiani?
Well, to Carpigiani, well, yeah, I would say, I mean, it's being these days a great chance to see if we can really leverage to be closer to the other brands, Ali and Wellbuilt, of course, which we were not historically. And as to the products that we are launching, we have a new soft serve unit that is going to be for the general market, replacing a very old model. Then we have a syrup injection system, nothing special, but it adds great value to a limited extra cost. And then we have something very new, which is the carbonated slush machine.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. The one with the screen at the top.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining the podcast, giving up. I know you're busy with your customers and all the rest of it. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the show, and I'll see you about.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Welcome to the world of Ali, the largest and most diverse food service equipment company on the planet. With over 110 brands under the Ali Group umbrella, we serve more than 150 countries worldwide. Our brands are at the forefront of innovation, offering cutting-edge technology and ergonomic designs that keep pace with the ever-evolving market. But we're not just a global leader, we're a network of local companies working together to deliver excellence. Ali Group's unmatched expertise in food service makes us the proud exclusive sponsor of Kitchen Curiosity. To learn more, visit aligroup.com.
is the third day today at Host Milan, and I'm joined by three more guests, actually all from Ali Group companies, and we're going to be just discussing their roles and also discussing how Host Milan has been for them as we're getting on today through, so kind of almost the halfway point of the exhibition. So, Mas, would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Hi, everyone. My name is Massimo Povelato. I'm commercial director in ESMAC, OEM, and Bongard, Italy. We are here at Host 2025 with two booths. One is at All 6 for OEM, and the other one for ESMAC and Bongard is at All 10. And that's me.
Perfect.
Hello, my name is Tomáš Zuma. I represent company GIPA as an export manager, and we just joining the Ali Group. So it's the first time we present also under the Ali Group umbrella, and I'm responsible for export countries. We have one booth not far away from the Ali Group area, and we presenting our unit multifunctional pen under the brand GIPA Jump.
Perfect, thank you.
And I'm Magnus Titusson. I'm the CEO of Equidisk. Mm-hmm. We're also located in Hall 5, not far from where we are now. We present more or less the full range of dishwashing machines and equipment for washing.
Perfect. Well, gentlemen, welcome to the show. I know two of you we've met before, well, we've all met before, but two of you have been on the show before. Mm-hmm. So welcome back, and Thomas, welcome. How has it been so far? We're day three.
It's been very good. The exhibition is very good. We are All Six is it focuses on pizza, so yep. It's a perfect environment for OEM. The same applies to All 10, where ESMAC and Bongard is.
So you've been eating a lot of pizza.
Yeah, exactly. which is focusing on bakery.
Yeah.
And it's been very good. Good customers, a lot of existing customers and distributors coming to us to see us. We present some exciting new products. And we wanted to have, in both cases, two booths that not only present new products, but in reality, they tell two stories. So in one, for OEM, we present a main lab and then three different corners, each of them with some products that apply to a different market segment. Whereas in ESMAC, since essentially Host is focused on HoReCa, yep, we presented a very compact solution, not only for bakery and pastry, but also potentially for future customers in the restaurant business.
Perfect, thank you. Magnus, how has it been for you? Looks Beskadisk has been busy, your team's been working away.
Yeah, it works according to our plan. We always feel that Host is a very, very good meeting place, mm-hmm, and most all of our dealers from each and every country come here to see what we are doing. We try to present some news because first question often when somebody arrives, what's new from last time, and then you need to present something new, and this time we actually have quite a few news, yeah, in our booth, and we show the complete portfolio more or less, which is a wide range of dishwashers for more or less from the small bar to the big hospital and airline catering. We can let's say show at the booth, which is very nice, and we try to take the opportunity to educate our dealers,
yeah.
We try to educate consultants coming in and this, so far we have had good quality discussions with plenty of people from the business. So that's good.
Perfect.
Very satisfied.
And Thomas, from your perspective, you said it's the first time exhibiting under the Ali brand, Ali family.
Exactly.
Has it been anything different or you know?
Exactly. Thank you. We are happy to present our products under the Ali Group umbrella, and it's privilege, but also it's a lot of opportunities because we find new possible customers, but also partners.
Yep.
And exactly this we need. We have very good boat. We working well, but of course, to the Ali Group connections and so on, it's a little bit wind to our sales organization. So we need more presence in the countries, and the best way it's to be presented in such a a huge exhibition like Milano Host, and that's the only the best way to present the product live for the customer, to show them the durability of the unit and the possibilities.
Yeah, and how's the reception been from the people visiting? What's their thoughts?
Thank you. It was beautiful because honestly we was all as a whole team invited, so for us it was also a privilege because it was speak so much about JIPA. So
yep.
And of course we met a lot of existing opportunities and also future possibilities. So for us it's very important to be present, mm-hmm. to speak with the people, to discuss the potential business cases.
Yeah.
And if I see the map, we are not everywhere yet. So a lot of things to do. And I hope this will help us to be more present in different countries and different regions on the world.
Perfect. Okay. And guys, I mean, I know you've been busy with your stand and your customers, and maybe you've had a chance to have a little walk around, or as you've seen in, is there, and I'm asking really all my guests this at Host, is there a common theme amongst exhibitors? Is it sustainability? Is it connectivity? Is it innovation? Is it a combination? What do you think, Magnus? Are you seeing a theme or not?
Well, we have the sustainability in our DNA, so of course. We see that growing year after year. But with sustainability, it's not only water consumption, it's more than that,
yeah.
I think. So long-lasting products, for example, that's very, very important for us. And we see that the customers appreciate our machines last for a very long time. We also, let's say, try to supply spare parts. We see also that the feedback we receive from our customers or clients from all around the world, they differ quite a bit. They are very different.
Do you think sustainability is a feature here at Host, or are some people good and some people not? You know, you don't have to talk about brands, but just in general, what's your feeling, you think?
Well, I think if you take generally speaking, it's more discussion about sustainability,
right.
Even if it's not the hottest topic, so to say,
okay.
Because still you have a budget to meet, still you have other things also important. But I would say from our perspective, the request or the discussions about sustainability are getting more and more up in front of the discussion.
Yeah. And Massimo, a theme that you're seeing across Host, across all the exhibits, is there a theme or not really?
Well, in bakery and pizzerias, the big topic is manpower, the lack of manpower.
Okay,
so
staffing, yeah.
Staff is always more and more, there's more scarcity each year, and so the request is always the same. So easy to use machines, connectivity to control the operations of the machines, compact spaces,
mm-hmm.
so reduce spaces and keep performance up,
yeah.
and automatization. So mostly in bakery. So it's a growing trend. Customers, distributors from abroad, for example, they come and they look at our let's say ready to use solution. For example, for pizzeria like conveyors, stating that. Maybe it's not a topic for you in Italy, but you know, us abroad, we don't have that level of pizzaiolos. In reality, we say that this is a trend also in Italy right now. So it's a global trend. And
okay.
More and more entrepreneurs that come to us, they want to explore a solution of conveyors too, also in Italy.
Yeah.
And so we presented this beautiful new product that is a quite big conveyor, but with refractory stone that enables more natural baking,
mm-hmm.
and is truly, truly much appreciated. So technology is helping solving issues, which at the end of the day is our goal, I think.
Of course. Thomas, for you, is there a theme, a wider theme? But did you, where you were before, you were still host, you were still at host before?
Yes, yes.
So it's not the first host.
It's not first time. I think me personally, I'm 5-6 years five. In the GIPA organization.
Are you seeing this year any sort of trends or...?
I see it from our perspective because it's a big trend and big change in the kitchen. And the trend, it's the people looking the costs, of course, because all the costs relating to the kitchens going higher. If it's, you know, even some years before, it was the energy crisis.
Yeah, or staffing.
It was the gas and problems, shortages and so on. So the people like to invest in proper quality equipment and they like to be aware how much the equipment use the energy, how effective is the unit. And of course, this is the second aspect because 70% of our clients are heavy used kitchen.
Right.
So canteens, preparation kitchen, food suppliers and so on. So they really look for the quality product, but also easy of use the product because they don't have the quality person, quality chefs, or the you have 2-3 chefs and the rest it's a kitchen helper.
Yeah, yeah. So it's difficult to get the skill. The skill sets can be different and you need to be versatile.
And of course, the multifunctional units are not as a standard yet, but we see as a GIPA, I joined GIPA some years ago, but we have an internal meeting and we see not everywhere it's a standard, but we see the future.
Yeah.
This will be the standard tomorrow, but we have to prepare the market. We have to work with our partners because this is big trend. If we present it well, the people or the customer end users, they waiting for such a solution because they have to reduce the cost. Because the people don't like to pay more for the food, but they need a high quality of food.
Yeah.
And of course, the energy is going up, so they look for solutions to reduce all this cost down.
Of course.
And this
course.
Is, of course, sustainability also.
Of course, yeah. So, I mean, just changing direction slightly, but how important are these exhibitions, you know, like... these face-to-face exhibitions, with the world of the internet and the world getting smaller, you know, they're a big investment, they're a massive investment, but kind of how important are they for you, do you think, and for your company and obviously wider group and other people?
Exhibitions, in my opinion, are fundamental. It's still the moment where people can meet and not only with customers and colleagues, but also on an additional level, on a brand awareness positioning.
Yeah.
So companies, they tell who they are, if they have a new approach to the market, they can tell a story, not only to the customer, to distributors, but to the world. And so they still remain fundamental. Again, not only for the meetings with the customers, colleagues in the sectors,
competitors,
seeing the competitors, evaluating the trends, but also to tell the story of a company.
I actually witnessed a competitor go to someone's stand and start stripping their oven down, which I thought was cheeky, but that happens. Magnus, how important are they really?
Yeah, for us it's very important with the exhibitions. You get feedback from end users, from the one using your equipment or servicing your equipment, and I think that's of course you get feedback from other areas as well. But meeting them, explaining things, but I think for a this perspective. To have this training, education, meeting your partners, doing that as a team, because bringing them to Sweden is fine, and but it's one by one.
Yeah.
Here you can do all together. You can share best practices from one country to the other, because our customers in dishwashing, if you go to Asia or south of Europe, Scandinavia, completely different.
Yeah.
So by meeting, you can exchange and you can move that, let's say, move that further.
Yeah, in,
conversation, but also with the product development. Mm. The only way to get good feedback is to have that discussion.
With the user, yeah, definitely.
With the user,
Thomas, for you?
I will repeat maybe the same, but for us it's very important because we are still new in the market.
You're the babies in the babies on the block still.
Thank you. Thank you. But this is exactly...
But a great product.
Yes, it's a great product, but you can't sell it to web. It's beautiful to have with somebody meeting online. It's beautiful to present some videos, etc. But the feeling, and this is the emotion, if the people came front of the unit, they completely change the mind.
Yep.
And they see the small difference, which we say it's very important for the end user. And especially dealers, many dealers, they just like to get the pricing, and they don't see so much the product, which it's a lot of opportunities which are in the product itself.
Yeah.
So if they concentrate more on the solutions with the product to the end clients, they will be maybe more successful than fight all the time with the pricing. We are lucky because we have units which are really unique on the market, like 2x80, 2x50, which nobody have at the moment.
Yeah.
It's a perfect match for the...
It's a double pan, isn't it?
Exactly. This is the double pan. Or we have 250 or 200 liter unit,
yeah,
which a lot of customers... I have today discussion with some Greek operator, and he completely changed the mind if he see the units front of him. It's an end user, and he say, I will change the order. I would like to have this 280 liter because this make me sense. It looks perfectly, it's one unit, it's two pens, and this is what we need. So we present to the customer the product front of him, and you cannot this emotion brought to the through internet or through video, even to on the radio.
Okay, well, we're coming to the end of the podcast. I know it's short and sweet, so sorry about that. But just briefly, can you just tell me what will success be for you at the end of this 5 days? Just briefly, if you don't mind, what you think success will be. I mean, going home, still walking would be good. But yeah.
Well, of course, I might say something easy, but it's always good to get some orders from an exhibition. So firstly,
if we get some
orders out of it, it wouldn't be bad.
Fantastic.
Frankly,
Thomas,
speaking,
what would success be for you? Just briefly, if you mind.
Of course, I will say the same. But for us, it will be the success if all the partners, because we have here a lot of partners which we know, we discuss, but they don't visit us in Prague. So
yeah,
for us it's very important, and we try to bring the people front of the unit, do the test trial, they do two test cooking, but especially come and visit our factory, because it's really even the Jirka Pavlík and his factory, it's something which will change their mind.
And
the production.
The beautiful city of Prague. Why not?
Of course, this is
a Czech beer. That's the dream.
Yeah.
And Sweden, of course. Yeah.
Well, of course, we would like
would
to we would like to have orders, we as well. But,
of course.
But to build trust with our partners, and so they have confidence in what we are doing, and be good ambassadors, and because it's relations, it's all about relations, and
yes,
to build that even further, that's most of what gives us success.
Perfect. Yep. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. I hope you've enjoyed it. Enjoy your last 2.5 days or 2.25 days, and I shall see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello, welcome back. So now I'm moving on. I've got three guests with me. I've actually got the CEO of a QSR brand that's expanding rapidly in the UK. I've also got the vice president from Wellbuilt. And I've also got a representative from Ali, who looks after, I think, the Middle East and other parts. I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and then we're going to get on to the conversation. So if you would like to go first. Let's...
Well, you said correct. I'm the representative for the Middle East, so I'm based in Dubai. Most of my job is GCC, Gulf Country Council, Saudi Arabia, Dubai, Oman, Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain. Then the Middle East more in general, Lebanon, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, and then the African region, especially the Central Africa region. I represent the corporate structure, and thank you very much for having me here.
Well, welcome to the show. Thank you for that. Pierre, if you...
Yeah, my name is Pierre Tavana. I'm VP for Sales Service and Marketing for Wellbuilt in the MEA.
Okay.
And basically, all I do is about customer experience and very, very focused in restaurants and understanding what their pain points and trying to help them.
Okay, fantastic. And Mohammed, welcome to the show. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for inviting me. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Eatforia, which is an umbrella company for another 10 brands.
Okay.
And we have 55 plus locations in the UK at the moment. And we just had a VC investment in January, so we are on a very big expansion trail.
Yeah.
And yes, it's exciting to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, well, thank you for giving us the time. I know you've been really busy the last 2 days, in and out of appointments, and yes. So it's good. So, gents, how is we're day three? I know, Mohammed, I think day two for you, but day three of the exhibition. How are your feet? Are your feet okay? Are we still smiling?
Well, I can say that the voice is gone.
Okay, the voice is gone.
Definitely.
How has it been, Pierre? How has it been for you so far?
Lots of people, and more than lots of people. The quantity is always good in a trade show. That's what we're here for, to see people.
Yeah.
But on top, the quality of people and how we can present the technologies to everybody, I think it's great. And the interest. All the visitors we've had are extremely interested.
Yeah.
In all the market trends and everything we can do for them. So that's
okay.
It's ideal.
And Mohammed, from your perspective, your first host?
This is my first host, and okay. I'm must say I'm pretty much pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
Because I've been to shows back in the UK, and I've never seen something at this scale.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I brought my trainers with me.
it's not for new shoes.
My on cloud, I think they're my best. I think because there was a lot of walking, like you said.
Yeah.
But good to know, because to see everybody under one roof. All the major manufacturers, see some peers from the industry as well.
Okay.
And it's good to put a face to the name. Sometimes we deal with the manufacturer, but we never see them.
Yeah, of course.
So it's
course.
Good
what,
to
I
see.
I mean, what were you hoping to get out of the show?
As I said to you earlier on, they'll be expanding.
Yeah.
And we're always looking to improve on our kitchen design and the kitchen equipment.
Okay.
In fact, 2 years ago, we were also nominated for the best design kitchen as well. And innovation is really the truth.
Innovation is
innovation,
the key.
Like how can we use less kitchen space to do more?
Yeah, of
and
course.
And make use of per square feet.
Okay. And what, I mean, have you had time, Lorenzo, to look around the show? I know you've been really busy. Every time I come, you're here talking to people.
That's a good question.
Have you got time to have a look?
I'm looking for tomorrow to honestly see the show as a visitor.
Right, okay.
The first 3 days I was guiding a group of consultants, so... We have so many brands within Ali Group that basically just to go around them, it took 3 days.
Yeah.
So, no, I haven't seen the show yet, but I have asked colleagues and customers, and everybody seems to be happy with this edition, honestly.
Okay. And is there, from your perspective, all of you, is there a common theme? You know, is it sustainability? Is it innovation? Is it connected kitchens? Is there a theme or isn't there? What do you think?
I think... In this show, what people realize more than in any other show is that technology in a restaurant needs to start back of the house.
Yeah.
Because many of our customers and many of the restaurants, when you think about technology, is all about customer experience and how to increase traffic in a restaurant. But the pain points are all in the back of the house. And that's why this show, in my point of view, is so important, because that's what you're going to find in here.
I absolutely agree with this, because... a lot of time the focus is on technology in the front of house, but here the focus is on back of house, which is very important, obviously.
Yeah. And you're a very tech business, really.
Yeah, we are a very tech-driven business.
Yeah.
We basically, in fact, consider ourselves to be half tech, half food.
Yeah.
So it's like a food tech business. So it's absolutely interesting to see how people are moving towards the cloud and how each manufacturer is pivoting and making their equipment ready for the cloud, which I think is very important, like IoT, AI, cloud. All of these words, and I could pick up a lot of manufacturers here today who actually adapted to it, which is really good to see.
It's quite refreshing.
And one thing I think is important for us, I mean, I speak as a manufacturer, this is an international exhibition. We get customers from all over the world, and they underline to us their problem, like that refrigerant doesn't work in our country, we have that climate, we have that need, we use that system, and it's important for us to get their feedback. And Ost is the perfect example. Normally as a salesperson, I get that feedback, but maybe my colleagues in the company, the general manager, the technician, they do stay in the company. So it's an opportunity to for them to meet the rest of the world and get the feedback from different markets.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, someone said to me that this is the show of shows.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I think absolutely.
Okay, well, yeah.
That's because I've been to many shows in my career for the last 35 years, and I've never seen a show for equipment, dedicated to equipment, such a huge show. Personally, yeah. I am quite impressed. As I said earlier on, that I've never seen something like back in the UK.
Yeah. And for what?
I think Ali Group is an international company. Sometimes we do, as Europeans, go to the show in the US, but this show, everybody, is a good thing. So we meet every colleague from around the world. Yeah. They all come to us. It feels like an event, right?
Yeah, actually, you're very right. I think this is the first time we see this amount of American visitors here, trying to understand what we do here, as we try to understand often what they do in the other side.
In the US, yeah. And that's something that has come through, actually, in the last 3 days, when talking to people on the podcast. A lot of visitors from the US. Is that kind of, I mean, we've always had visitors from the US, but you're seeing more this year.
Plenty more, yeah. Absolutely.
I wonder why.
Well, there's a lot more interest on how we do things in Europe, as right. we've had in the US. The models of food service are still quite different. Mm. And I think this is becoming very, very interesting. In the US, the market is a lot more developed toward chains. There's a lot more of food industry behind those chains. Here it's something still relatively new, more developed in some countries than others. And it's very interesting to see how this is developing in a completely different way, but it's very interesting.
Mohammed, have you seen anything that you particularly liked?
Yes, I quite like the Speedy Cook contact ceramic grill. Because we use a Roban at the moment.
Okay.
So a few innovations here and there.
Really
interesting, because we always look across the pond for inspiration. So it's, as I said, it's quite good to see a lot of manufacturers here, a lot of American manufacturers here as well.
Yeah,
actually,
it's about sort of speed, consistency.
Consistency, because that's what we're looking at, because we are replicating our model in the franchise model.
Yeah, you're rolling out quite a big expansion.
Yeah, so consistency, we're looking for equipment which can produce consistent results all the time. And obviously, as you know, skills is a big shortage now. So.
Yeah, of course. And from well-built perspective, anything new or hot that you're showing that we should know about?
I think from our perspective, what we see more and more is how combined solutions and integrated with a cloud and having full solutions is what really interests the customers. Because basically, like Mohammed said, just going from 5 restaurants to 10 and 50 and escalating to a lot more requires a lot more consistency. And technology is really behind that.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I know, Lorenzo, you have to represent all the brands. So you've got to play a political game.
I want to say which brand. I mean, all of them were coming here with the focus that their customer were going to ask what's new. So everybody was bringing what's new. Something that I see in Host comes out is technical part. Everybody asking, will I have technical support in my country? Will spare part be available in my country?
Yeah.
Global chain ask, will this model be available all over continents? And this is something that really force even brands that were used to only focus in Europe or their, you know, core business in their country to have a wider understanding of the market and provide spare part technical service in English everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, service, I guess, is really important, even in your business.
I mean, that's the very first question I ask when I see that, what sort of warranty you have and are you able to provide the backup?
Yeah.
Because for us, it's very important that we don't have a downtime.
Of course.
Or the downtime is not long.
Yeah.
Because we are such a QSR business that we can't afford to have downtime.
Yeah.
So something might sound very good and look very good, but has it got the support?
Yeah.
I think support is equally important.
Yeah. Definitely. That's interesting. So it's not price.
No.
Or
I wouldn't say so. No.
Yeah, the main focus is reliability, service,
equally,
and backup and parts.
Absolutely. Because as we always say, the investment always pays back. But the service needs to be there.
Of course.
So, and that's a very good point. And if someone finds a master franchisee for your concept, in any country, Africa, you name it, we have to be ready to have a service team ready tomorrow, all the trainings, all the spare parts. But on top of what we have today is the possibility to have through the cloud the information on when a piece of equipment is going to fail and help you prevent any time down in your restaurant. So that's really...
And that's what we value a lot as franchisors and business, that somebody, you know, should be, or the our main supplier should be able to provide that support. Okay. I think it's absolutely very critical to us.
Just a slightly different question, a little bit off piece, if you like. AI. You know, are you seeing much AI here? And also, where do you see it going in our sector, the food service, hospitality sector?
Well, I think we are one of the few that had the best solution in AI, recognizing food in one of the ovens we use in a big market supermarket chain. I think it's a big question. There's a lot of AI available. It needs to bring value.
Yeah.
And that's our main purpose when we develop AI. It's going to be very helpful in service. It's going to be very helpful in many methods. But when it comes really to the operations in a restaurant, only solutions that really bring value are going to be useful.
And funny enough, in 10 days' time, we're flying out to Munich to do a podcast on that particular product.
Can't believe that. Yeah. That's great, great so news.
You don't have to say much more because it's coming out.
I think AI will never replace people, especially in the hospitality sector.
Yeah.
But I think it definitely will help people to do their jobs better.
Okay.
And we didn't see a lot of AI around in this show, to be very honest.
Right.
But I think it's early days and people are... As I said, you should deliver value.
Yeah.
You know, just to have the buzzword around AI. But what actually delivers in terms of hospitality, in terms of numbers, and how will it basically help the problem of, you know, the skill shortage as well for us?
Yeah, of course.
I think we'll only enhance it, but not replace human beings.
No.
Well, definitely.
I wish I had something smart to say, but I simply agree with them.
That's good. Well, that's positive. I've asked this pretty much to all my guests. Why should people spend the time? And you know, you've come here, you've spent what, 2 or 3 days of your time. Why should people come to Host?
I think with the advent of the internet, and you know, everybody tends to download the brochures, see a lot of things via the cloud.
Yeah.
But I think it's very important to have that one-to-one interaction with the manufacturers.
Yeah.
And you can unlock a lot of things by having a one-to-one interaction rather than being, you know, remotely accessing that information.
Yeah.
So I'm actually quite pleased with this, as I said, because the shows in UK are shrinking, and to see something like this is very good, because I think sometimes you can unlock a lot of knowledge and networking by these shows than you would do otherwise.
And I guess you're able to be here 2-3 days away from your business and really focus on what this is about and get that.
Yeah, and you can ask all sort of questions which comes to your mind to a manufacturer regarding the equipment.
Yeah,
there and there, and they can explain it better, or they have an expert at hand. If they can't help you, then they at least put you in touch. It's not like we'll come back to you in a couple of days, you know.
Yeah, you got
it's there and there.
Yeah, take from your perspective. I mean, as an exhibitor or as a visitor, why should you be here?
I think as both.
Yeah,
nothing beats the live experience that you have here. Networking and having contact directly with the people that have technology, and the people like yourselves that have issues in your restaurants, you're looking for growth and you try to find the best way. I had the pleasure of meeting you yesterday.
Yes,
I learned more in your meeting than in probably 1 year being in my desk. And
seriously,
and
thank you.
No, it was a great experience. I think it's one of the most interesting projects I've seen in many years.
Yeah.
I was quite interested in the AI when they show the camera.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Again, we're talking about making less mistakes, depending less on
same
people.
Same. Mm.
So it was refreshing. It was quite good, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
To see the product.
And as we said already, your business is food tech, really.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So we're always looking out for things like this.
Yeah. And Lorenzo, why should people visit Host? I mean, apart from obviously the beautiful cathedral in Milan.
Well, I think we all experience in our life, you know, I'll write to my friend and then you write to a stranger, even though you are recommended maybe by a friend of yours, and you write on WhatsApp a polite message, and after you meet this person in real, then the communication changed totally. I do experience the same. I mean, when customers have the possibility to meet you at the booth and see the equipment, but basically meet you at the booth, understand how you look like, what's your weight, the tone of your voice, the communication after is simple, really simple. It changed.
Totally, yeah, because you've got that personal connection, and then you,
I handle an area that is based on relationship, the Middle East. So we spend tons of time in communication, meetings. But it's nice. I mean, I handled that area for 5 years. I can say that I feel friends of some of my customers and colleagues. And that wouldn't be possible during pandemic. It wasn't that easy.
Yeah, and that's a business of people. Please don't forget that. It's a business of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, look, we are coming near the end of the podcast. I know it's been quite short, but maybe it's a bit of a closing thing from each of you. What, from your side, from Wellbuilt, what does success look like at the end of these 5 days?
I think we like to measure the success in terms of how many restaurants we are going to be able to help sorting some of the pain points. I think this is what we like to do as a team.
Okay.
And understanding what are the issues and bringing more and more solutions to all these people. And given the numbers we've checked in the last couple of days, we're going to do a very good job in this show.
Yeah, I mean, I've been past the Wellbuilt stand a few times, and it's constantly busy.
Yes.
So, yeah. And Mohammed, from you, as a visitor, what does success look like? I mean, I know tonight, but...
Yeah, I mean, the connections that we have made, the new connections, also the opportunity to speak to the manufacturers face-to-face.
Yeah.
Because we are quite driven with innovation, I have a lot of questions in my mind, bursting. So it was a good opportunity to meet the manufacturers and ask them, grill them, or learn about them. I think it was, for me, the big wins was like to meet them personally, ask some of the burning questions I had, and make more connections.
I think as well, for a growing chain, to have that relationship with the manufacturer, you know, the distribution, of course, is important, but it's really important to have that relationship with the manufacturer, so you know that you've got their support and they understand your business.
Absolutely. You know, you'll be very surprised that a lot of time you get a lot of advice or guidance from them, which could be like, a silver lining, that you don't expect to happen.
Definitely.
They might tell you something about the product that you don't know or something related to it.
True. Yeah, give you some. And what does success look like for you, Lorenzo? Ali Group head on
Well, there were several colleagues that I was engaging by emails, by WhatsApp, and I met them for the first time at the show.
Okay.
So for me, success is already achieved in terms that I met them, so it will be an easier communication. Then we have an exhibition in Saudi Arabia, kind of popular, 15, 17 December, Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. So I invited many of my brands, many of my colleagues to come to have a visit.
Yeah.
If they come, that will be a success of this edition of Saudi in Milano.
Okay, fantastic. Well, did you want to say anything, just a closing statement to our listeners for visiting and...
Well, thank you very much, because I know you have to take a plane. Many of our colleagues and customers, they have to go through a difficult visa procedure to be here. That was a hassle for many of them. And they decided to come here, very tight schedule for many of them, to walk kilometers, meet 1,000 person, lose their voice. and they did it for us, and we are extremely grateful that they did it.
Great. Well, thank you. I'm sorry, that's the end of our 20 minutes. I know it's been very short and sweet, but I really appreciate all of your time. I hope you enjoyed it, Mohammed.
Very well, thank you. Thanks,
Wayne. We're going to invite you back next year for season 3.
Looking forward to it.
And we're going to get into a bit more detail about your business.
Thank you.
So that's what we want to listen to. Same for you. I hope you enjoyed it.
An absolute pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you.
Right, thanks. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode, and thank you for listening. I know it's been quite a noisy background, but we, as I said, we've been recording live. If you've got any questions that you'd like me to cover, please email me at radford@kitchencuriosity.co.uk. I've been your host, Radford Chancellor, and you've been listening to Kitchen Curiosity.
Kitchen Curiosity is written and hosted by Radford Chancellor and is edited and produced by Tom Anderson. Kitchen Curiosity is exclusively sponsored by Ali Group and is a Sound Rebel production.